many people consider Apple the most powerful brand in the world, an accolade that's hard to dispute when their product line includes iPad, iPhone, iPod, iMac, MacBook Air. Companies all over the world try to emulate Apple's creative genius and superb marketing, but what is the real secret to Apple's success? According to Ken Siegel, the man who put the I in iMac and served as a member of Steve Jobs' creative inner circle for more than a decade, the answer is simplicity. In his book, Insanely Simple, The Obsession That Drives Apple's Success, Siegel reveals what sets Apple apart from other technology companies and makes them stand out in a complicated world, a deep, almost religious belief in the power of simplicity. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Ken Siegel to the roundtable this morning. Ken, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me in.
Now, give us a sense of your role. You were not employed by Apple, but you worked as part of their creative and marketing team.
Correct. I was the creative director for Apple's ad agency. And actually, I met Steve by being the creative director for Next, which was the company, the creative director for the ad agency for Next, which was the company that Steve formed after he was tossed out of Apple way back in 1985.
Why did the two of you click, do you think?
Well, clicking is hard to say exactly how that works with Steve, but I think when people deliver the goods, Steve is very happy. When they don't, that's when things start getting to be troublesome. I had the good fortune to be working with a group of really great people. It wasn't me going solo. I was at an ad agency with great creative people on my side and great strategy people. So Steve was very happy with what we did generally.
When you look in the book at these elements of simplicity, I mean, they are simple, I guess, to describe, but seem very difficult to actually obtain when you think about, as you say, think iconic, think war, think brutal, think small, think minimal. So these are ideas that are easily stated, but obviously much harder to obtain, I would think.
Yes, and that is one of the reasons for the book. It's stated up front, really, that being simple obviously isn't so simple, and that's the trick. And Apple has this uncanny knack of making things look so simple. I think when people create something that is simple, you tend to look at it, or even if it's just an idea, not a product, and think, well, that's kind of obvious. But a lot of work has gone into it, or maybe no one's thought of it before. It can be obvious, but if nobody has seen it, it's great. And I think Apple constantly delivers these things that delight people because they're simple. And by simple, by the way, I don't mean dumbed down, because they certainly aren't. They're simple devices that can do amazing things.
In Think Minimal, you talk about how when you communicate, it's much easier to communicate. You know, it's hard to communicate more than one idea at a time. And if you're minimal in your approach, it's easier to get through to people. Minimal can also be said about the products that Apple uses. They're stylish, they are minimalist, and yet they do so much beyond and sort of under the surface. And that was part of the philosophy. Do you think, and again, part of the success, I assume?
Yes, exactly. And there's a quote from Steve Jobs about simplicity, about how they accomplish what they do. It's about peeling away the layers of the onion, which I think is really, it is how it works. I think at other companies, they get to a point where that seems pretty good, but Steve used to keep pressing and pressing and peel away layer after layer to get to this essential goodness in the middle where the product would just be really fantastic.
Of course, when you are introduced, it's always said that you're the man who put the eye in the iPad and iPod and iTouch. What was it about that letter that for you was important?
Well, first of all, I do get tickled by that every time, because I always look at these things like someone made a movie about advertising and the absurdity of somebody coming up with a letter and it becomes famous. So I try to be a little humble about that, because it really is just a letter. And to be honest,
a lowercase letter.
It is indeed. again, that's one of those things you look back at and say, well, that's so simple, too. It was about getting on the Internet easily, and that's what the first iMac was all about. That was Steve's instruction, you know, try to come up with a good name, and it's about, you know, the product is mostly about getting on the Internet easy. So I, for Internet, seemed pretty obvious, and I look back at it, and it doesn't seem like much work, but I do remember at the time we had walls filled with ideas, and getting the name iMac past Steve wasn't easy because he had a tendency to not like something the first time he saw it. So that was a matter of multiple presentations to get him to buy it.
And was there an actual discussion of going back to what I just said? Was there an actual discussion of whether the I should be capitalized or lowercase?
Interestingly, someone asked me that recently. I go back and look at all the stuff that I have. It was always a lowercase, and I'm not exactly sure why. I think it was probably just something that looked good from the start, because I do see some publications insist on capitalizing that I when it's at the beginning of a sentence. It always looks so dorky to me. So the small I really with the capital M after looked really nice, and it was such a short word. And it really wasn't until Steve had the name silkscreened on a model computer that he was convinced it was a good name. He just thought it looked really great.
Give us a sense of your ties to the company now.
I am a former colleague of a lot of people. I did some consulting work directly with Apple several years ago, but that was the last time.
And it comes and goes, I assume. You're needed and then you're not in your line of work.
Yeah, that's the way it works pretty much. You have your associations, they recur over time. But Apple has this incredible place in my heart. I should point out, I worked on the Apple business when John Sculley was the CEO. And then from there, I moved to New York for the opportunity to work with Steve Jobs, even though his company, that was the Next company, even though they were based in California, he had an ad agency in New York. So I actually moved 3,000 miles east just so I could work with Steve, who was based back in California.
And what did you learn from that experience that you think stays with you?
From the Next experience, that would be, it was interesting because in those days, Steve was not successful. He had been thrown out of his own company. He had to start a new company from scratch. He had to find investors. He had to learn how to get along with people because he didn't do that well back at Apple. He had a lot to learn, and the way I see it, that was actually where Steve learned the skills that made him such a success when he came back to Apple in 1997. I actually think the way it worked out, the world is very lucky. Steve was very lucky. Apple was very lucky that it worked out the way it did with him being sent into exile, because he learned so much there and he created the software that became the foundation for the new Macintosh operating system. All that stuff happened because he was sent packing, basically. And then when they reunited, Steve had matured, Apple needed the new technology, and everything took off from there.
And of course, there was a journey there, but as you write in the book, that obsession for simplicity was something that you saw when you first met him.
Yes, I think that was pervasive in Steve's world, and it was interesting. That's why it struck me many years ago, and I had this book in my head, because it struck me that it wasn't just the products that were simple, that Steve had built this value into the whole company. And pretty much every meeting you ever had with him, any topic, whether it was about your advertising or the product, why they did what they did, it always came down to him wanting people to get it in a second and not need a manual and that kind of thing. Or he just really wanted, you know, that instant communication with people, that instant gratification that they would get by being able to pick up a product and never even need a manual.
The name of the book is Insanely Simple, The Obsession That Drives Apple's Success. It's a very entertaining, very, very fascinating, interesting book with some great stories as well. It's published by Penguin Portfolio. Ken Siegel, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Insanely Simple by Ken Siegel, published by Penguin Portfolio. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.